The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101. We're so happy you joined us this week. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that will help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's your host, Susan Bartlestone.
Good evening, everyone. You know, it's just about summer. Perfect weather to be outside in the parks and the beaches on the streets. It sure felt like it here in New York City, where I broadcast from this past week. So anyway, the topic that I want to talk about tonight is street harassment. And it happens pretty much all over the world. Now, I'm not just talking about when women pass by a group of men hanging out in front of a store or go in front of a construction site. I'm telling you that simply by being in any public place, we women can be subject to behavior that ranges from the merely annoying to the downright terrifying. And I'm not just talking about the whistles and the hoots and the barks, the unwanted compliments, the sexually explicit remarks. You know, personally, I ignore this. I keep walking. A lot of people do. Other women really, really get annoyed about it, but this is something you can get away from. But it doesn't always stop there. Sometimes men block our path, stand too close, grope and rub up against us on buses and subways and elevators. There's no ignoring that. And most frightening of all, there are those men who expose themselves or masturbate in front of us, follow us around, threaten us with violence or rape. I'm Susan Bartlestone. This is Crime Prevention 101, and street harassment is a very personal issue for me. Now, I've got some very knowledgeable guests to help me out tonight. First up, I'll be speaking with street harassment expert Holly Curl about exactly what this is and how pervasive the problem is. Then I've got the wonderful founders of Hollaback DC, that's Shay Shenoy and Shannon Lindbergh, which is part of a worldwide collection of grassroots organizations, and they offer people a very unique way to holla back at their harassers and wait till you hear what they do. Then in the second half of the show, you're going to learn simple, effective verbal responses to street harassment with self-defense instructor Lauren Taylor, founder of Defend Yourself. And these techniques will help you get out of a situation safely without it escalating into violence. And then at the very end of the show, I'm going to tell you about my experience on jury duty today. Because I was not actually asked to serve, but this is a big murder case that's breaking in New York City, and wait until you hear about this case. So I'm gonna introduce Holly, just one second. I wanna give a little bit of a warning, however, though. Some of the language that we're gonna be using during the show may be quite graphic, and it's gonna be unpleasant for some people. But it's totally unrealistic, and you need to hear this the way that you would hear it on the street, if we're going to talk about it properly and we're going to deal with it properly. So in any event, I want you to introduce you to Holly Curl. She is a street harassment expert and founder of the wonderful website StopStreetHarassment.com. She's also the author of the upcoming book Stop Street Harassment, Making Public Places Safe and Welcoming for Women. Hi, Holly. Welcome.
Hi, Susan. Thank you very much for having me.
It is my pleasure. This is such an important topic. So Let's start at the beginning. Holly, what is street harassment and how pervasive is it? What are we talking about?
Sure. So your first question is harder than your second. There's no standard definition like there is one for sexual harassment at work or school. And that's something that I address in my book because problems without names or definitions are ignored. So that was one question that I asked in a survey I conducted for my book. I informally surveyed more than 900 people around the world, and common words that they used to describe street harassment were unwelcome, sexual, touching, and my own definition is unwelcome words and actions by unknown persons in public places which are motivated by gender and invade a person's physical and emotional space in a disrespectful, creepy, startling, scary, or insulting way. And in a simpler way to describe it, it is sexual harassment in public places. And then to your question about pervasiveness, I've looked at every study that I can find out there that's academic and looks at regional rates of harassment. And basically, I found that at minimum about 80% of women say they've experienced this in public places. And even surveys that focus just on public transportation showed quite a significant number of women experience harassment just in that sort of a public place.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I think that's a terrific definition of it. And you say 900 people from all over the world as part of this book.
Right. And so in that informal survey, there were about 811 women, and only 3 of them said that they had not experienced harassment in public places.
Hmm. Amazing. How did you become interested in this topic? I was kind of curious about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in 2006, fall of 2006, I had to pick a thesis topic for my master's program at George Washington University. And I was thinking long and hard, what could I do for this topic? Because I'm going to have to research it for a long time. It's going to be over 100 pages long when it's done. And Hollaback New York City's website had launched the year before. And it is a site where women can share their stories about street harassment, and they can post photos of the men who harass them. And that website really impacted me because throughout my life, as a teenager and in my 20s, men had harassed me in public places. I'm a runner, and that's when I'm harassed the most because I'm usually by myself. And I think that's a big factor of when and why women get harassed. It's when they're vulnerable and alone. And I didn't have words to express what it was happening to me. And I was often told, oh, it's a compliment, or just ignore it, or that's just life as a woman. And so to see this website was really validating, to realize other women were upset by it, and that it's sort of on the spectrum of gender violence, and it's not something that we have to put up with. So I decided to research street harassment. And in particular, I looked at how people were using online websites and other ways online to address this issue. And then it just sort of built from there to this book.
And how did you get the people that you interviewed? How did you find them?
Well, most of my work actually has been done through the internet, which is wonderful. I probably wouldn't have a book if we didn't have the internet. So I did all my surveying online. And I just really put it out on different blogs and websites, sent it around, and it just kept going. And, I'd find it on blogs that I'd never even heard of. And then for my actual interviews, I interviewed more than 20 activists working on this issue. And it was just through a lot of research, like trying to find projects online and looking for their contact information. That's mostly how I did it, just online research.
Sounds very extensive. I mean, really, I'm sure you've got a really good picture of what this is. And people submitted stories to you as well for the book, right?
Right. So I went through all the blog posts that I had accepted on my blog. I launched my blog in 2008. And, if I found ones that were particularly compelling or illustrated a point really well, then I incorporated some of them into my book, too.
There are a couple of stories that stand out that you could talk about a little bit?
Yeah, there's one that I got about a year ago that just always stands out to me and I think is indicative of how street harassment isn't just the sort of hey baby comments that can be construed as complimentary. This is from a woman in Vancouver, Canada, and she submitted her story calling it an ugly girl story. She called herself ugly. And she said that she's fat and considered unattractive, and that she's often told by people in public that she's a dog, ugly, a cow, a pig. She's barked and oinked at by strange men in public. And she wrote to my blog because recently two men had followed behind her on the street for several blocks, loudly discussing what they would have to do in order to make her in order to make them want to have sex with her, to put it a little more politely than what she wrote. And they were saying things like they would have to put a bag over her head or get her to see a plastic surgeon. And she wrote that she tries very hard not to take these experiences to heart, but this recent one was very disturbing to her. And she realized that since then she's really been avoiding crowded public areas. And it's reinforced for her feelings that despite her achievements and personality in this world, what really matters is her outward appearance. And that story just broke my heart because, you know, this poor woman is just trying to go about her day and she's having these horrible things said to her and she feels unwelcome in public. And it, you know, it impacts her self-esteem in a really negative way.
Yeah, and that's the other side of it. It's not complimentary or quotes complimentary because a lot of women, even if a man just says, "Hey, you're beautiful," we don't like it. It's unwanted. We don't want you to talk like that. But when it goes on the other side, it's heartbreaking when it's nasty and mean spirited and probably not even true either. So it's
right.
You know, I agree that would stand out for me. Talk a little bit about the website or the blog site and how people can find you and how they can post there with you.
I just have a anonymous form they can fill out and send to me. I ask them to share their story. They can just say it in a sentence or two or several paragraphs, and the links of stories that I receive do vary. And I asked for their location because I have a Google map, and I do it about once a week. I update it with the location of the stories that I've had submitted. So on the map, there's little red push pins, and you can click on the push pins, and the story will pop up. And I think this is really important to show visually that this is a global problem, because that's one thing that I've heard a lot is, oh, it only happens in cities, it only happens on the East Coast, it only happens in New York City. And, you know, I get stories from rural areas, from places in the middle of the U.S. and from around the world, where they're, especially where they're English-speaking people. And then
optional.
Oh,
local.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. And then I have an optional section where they can share their ideas for ending street harassment. And I actually haven't put that on the website yet. I'm sort of collecting those. I'm not quite sure what I'll do with them yet. I did incorporate the ones that I'd received before I submitted my book manuscript into the book. But I'm still collecting those sort of responses.
Mm-hmm. I know the website is called stopstreetharassment.com.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And you can sign up for Holly's newsletter there, which is very informative. And I love the idea of collecting things that we can do about it, because I don't like to just talk about a problem. I want to do something about this. I want to make people aware of it and how upsetting it is, even if men think they're being complimentary. Now, how can people order this book? It's coming out when again?
It'll be out on August 30th. And the best way to order it is either on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. And if you go to StopStreetHarassment.com, there's the book cover is right there on the front, and you can click on it. Or I have near the top of the website, it says book. It's one of the subheadings, so you can click on that, and it'll take you. I have information about what the book covers, and then I have links to Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
All right, great, Holly. I'm going to make sure I let people know when the book comes out. Please sign up for her newsletter. It's really an eye-opening when you hear some of these stories. StopStreetHarassment.com. Holly, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
It's a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for doing this show. It's really important to open dialogue about this issue and get people talking about it, so I appreciate that.
Ah, yes. Well, this is Crime Prevention 101, the radio show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. When we come back, how you can holler back at your harasser.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
The Marsh Engel Show. Join the movement to empower yourself with the essentials of feminine power and success, and learn how women around the world are becoming more inspired, more influential, and absolutely amazing. Each week, Marsh sits down for an engaging conversation with women who are boldly committed to living their most amazing life. You'll discover ways to step into your greatest vision, deepen your relationships, and unleash your real creative brilliance. Get ready. It's time to jump into the conversation. That's Monday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern for the Marsh Engel Show on the Voice America Business Network.
Have questions about wind power? Listen for the TLG Wind Power Hour with Terry from TLG Wind Power Products. He'll cover the ins and outs of wind energy with you, whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or want a ready-made product. Let Terry give you the know-how and understanding of making wind energy work for you. Terry will share decades of hands-on experience so that you don't have to learn about wind power the hard way. The TLG Wind Power Hour, live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Green Talk Network. Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. Susan would like to remind you that no absolutes exist in a crime scenario, and no advice can possibly address every variable. Each situation should be evaluated individually and responded to in a way you instinctively judge best. It's Susan's aim on this show to provide you with the information and options that will help you make that instinctive assessment quickly and safely. And if you're already a survivor of the kind of crime we're talking about on the show today, or any other crime for that matter, please remember that there are no right or wrong responses in a criminal encounter, and nothing that happened to you was your fault. Even if you think you used bad judgment in a situation and left yourself vulnerable, that's never an excuse for a crime or for violence. So please, call yourself a survivor, not a victim, and understand that with time, distance, and the proper professional help, you can put what happened into perspective and get on with your life. If you'd like to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, send your comments to solutions@fightsafe.com, and Susan may address some of them on future shows. That email address again, solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101.
Hello again. Susan Bartlestone here, and there's plenty of show left, so why not start tweeting about us? And don't forget that you can follow me on Twitter, and you can follow me on Facebook. I have over 4,000 friends now, so please come and join the party, too. Now, a couple of announcements here. I want to make sure to mention that June 13 is Abused Women and Children's Awareness Day. And this is a day to reflect on how we can help stop the violence in America. that's destroying the lives and well-being of women and children. And I want you to check out the National Domestic Violence Hotline for resources and ways to get involved. And that is www.ndvh.org. And I'm also going to post that on my Crime Prevention 101 blog site, so you can go right to it. And now let's meet Hollaback, D.C. And Hollaback, D.C. was formed by two women. And I think we have one with us, Shannon Lindbergh and Shay Shenoy. And Shay's with us right now. We're trying to reach Shannon. She's somewhere crossing the border into Canada. We may not be able to get her, but Shay has worked on worked against domestic violence and sexual assault and dating violence and stalking for over a decade, even here in my wonderful city of New York, where we'll talk to her a little about that. And together, Shay and Shannon were the co-founders of Hollaback DC, which is part of a worldwide organization devoted to raising awareness about street harassment and giving people something that they can do about this. So, hi, Shay. How
Hello.
You doing?
Hello. Thanks so much for inviting us on the show.
Oh, it is my pleasure. And I love Hollaback. We have one here in New York. Mm-hmm. So, let's tell everybody what Hollaback is.
Sure. Hollaback DC, we're a grassroots community-based organization. We aim to empower DC metro area to build communities free from public sexual harassment and assault. And we do this primarily through an online portal. So we have a blog where people anonymously send in their experiences with public sexual harassment and assault, and we post it. And one of the cool things about having an online presence is that people can send us the pictures of the harassers, and we'll post those pictures as well. So that is really what the blog is about, and we have different ways of trying to address public sexual harassment and assault in the D.C. metro area.
And I love that. And you, when you check out the blog and you see the pictures of these creeps, mm-hmm. and you just say, oh, God, I hope that this embarrasses them. You know, I hope this mortifies them. I hope they somehow find out that everyone knows who they are and what they did. You know, I love that idea.
Right. Public shaming is a wonderful tool for social justice activists, and we're definitely using that, and so are, you know, people who find the courage and feel empowered to take those pictures and actually send it to us. It's a wonderful feeling.
Now, you're Hollaback, D.C., and we have a Hollaback, New York City, mm-hmm. but this organization is worldwide. Do you know how many altogether chapters there are in the U.S. and internationally?
I know there's a lot. The Hollaback family is worldwide. We have the hub is in New York through the umbrella organization called Hollaback. All the chapters are individual chapters. We're not part of an umbrella organization necessarily in the traditional way, but definitely in spirit. So there's Hollabacks in London, in Australia. There's one, I believe, that started in Hong Kong last week. There's also another organization called Blank Noise in India that works on public sexual harassment issues. So there's tons around the world, and in the United States, there's a couple of active ones, and definitely New York City and D.C. are really, really active.
And I went to actually to a couple of the different websites, and I think I counted about 15, although you're saying that they may not all be so active.
Right, yeah, because a lot of the Hollabacks are volunteer-run by feminist individuals, mm-hmm. and sometimes us feminists take on a lot of different things that we can't always time manage, but we definitely have a presence in a lot of the urban and some suburban areas in the United States.
So if people wanted to find out if there was a Hollaback near them,
They just go to the Hollaback DC website or mm-hmm. to the New York website, and you can click right onto the links. There's Chicago, there's Colorado, Connecticut, Washington, Pacific Northwest, Pennsylvania, and it'll take you right there. How about how many hits does Hollaback DC get a month?
Oh gosh. Daily we get around 500 to 700 hits a day.
So we have
a huge following of bloggers, activists, community members, government folks, police officers follow our blog as a way to address crime that's happening in their area. So we have a diverse readership.
Okay. Now, have there ever been any repercussions to women who posted pictures, like lawsuits or, you know, threats or anything like that?
Not that I know of, no.
Because I love the idea of this. I really
yeah.
do. But, you know, you have to, people are very, what is it, litigious?
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, they really do like to sue. And so, you know, and I also caution people, be careful snapping people's pictures.
Absolutely.
You want to kind of do it, if you can, surreptitiously, because you don't want to put yourself in any kind of danger when you're doing this. And
right.
I have a story that I like to tell that I know Lauren, I know who's coming up next is listening to this. You know, I kind of like to pick my battles.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like the idea of being able to public shame. But one of my pet peeves was always men who peed in public.
Mm-hmm.
I really hate that.
Right.
And so whenever I saw this, I used to routinely, you know, scream at, why don't you go to the bathroom? No one wants to look at you doing this. And,
right.
you know, and I would kind of carry on and be very loud. And they were usually quite embarrassed and, you know, would kind of zip up and slink away. And one day, now you told me you worked in New York for a while, so
mm-hmm.
maybe you know what I'm talking about. But there's a big subway station on 42nd Street.
Yeah.
And 8th Avenue. And I was going from the downtown to the uptown side through this passageway. And this was rush hour. And there were hundreds of people coming and going on both sides. And there was this man in the passageway with the people coming by. And he was peeing.
Right.
And so here I go. You know, why don't you go to the bathroom? Why do you have to do this in public?
Right.
And, you know, he turned around with his thing in his hand,
mm-hmm.
cursed me out, and started coming after me. And,
right.
oh, boy, I just, you know, said, oh, no, this is just a little too much for me. And I said, I don't want to get into it with this idiot. And
right.
I just took off. But, you know, that's why I say, you know, pick your battles.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I wish I could have snapped him for the website, but I just want to say, don't blame yourself if you
Absolutely.
Don't confront somebody. I think
Absolutely.
That's really important. You know, we a lot of us do walk away when we really would rather say something. And, you know, I walk away now. You know, I'm gonna wait until I can't ignore it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah, I think that you bring up an excellent point. I mean, the idea is that you want to feel empowered, and you also need to be safe. And so several times in the community trainings that we do, people have said they don't feel safe taking a picture. They don't feel safe addressing the harasser or talking to police about it because they're still going, you know, through the trauma of whatever happened to them. So we definitely believe that you know your own self, you know your own sense of safety. There is no victim blaming. There is no right way, nor is there a wrong way of handling public sexual harassment and assault. We use this as a tool of letting people know that this is happening in our communities in the D.C. metro area, that, you know, perpetrators come in all shapes and sizes as do victims or survivors of this crime. So we're really thinking of Hollerback DC as a community engagement tool rather than a tool for, you know, people to feel like that this is the right, this is the way to address harassment.
Safety, we're going to have our safety expert coming up next to tell us how we can do this safely. The website is hollabackdconeword.wordpress.com. Stay tuned. Shay's going to be with me. Lauren's coming up, and we're going to talk about how we can do it.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Dialogue is the single most powerful leadership tool we have to make a difference in the world. Leading Conversations with host Cheryl Esposito creates a place for that dialogue. Tune into the Voice America Business Channel every Friday as Cheryl hosts new conversations among leaders from around the world in business, government, art, economics, and social change. We'll explore big ideas and everyday actions and learn how their own leadership has led them to discover a newfound sense of possibility in the world. Leading Conversations with Cheryl Esposito, bringing big thinkers together in conversations that make a difference, right here on the Voice America Business Channel, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Another quick reminder, June is National Internet Safety Month as well as everything else. Why do they crowd everything into 1 month? Come on. It's 12 months in the year. Well, anyway, you can get important internet safety info from the National Criminal Justice Reference Service, and that's ncjrs.gov/internet-safety/index. I'm going to link to it on my Crime Prevention 101 blog. And now I want to introduce you to Lauren Taylor, who has more than 20 years teaching experience and heads a program called Defend Yourself, based in Washington, D.C. And this program has taught self-defense to thousands of women, teens, children, and men from all walks of life. And she developed a street harassment workshop, which features verbal responses and prevention skills. And we're going to be doing some of this workshop, and they present along with Hollaback DC, with Shay and with Lawrence, with Shannon. So, hi, Lauren. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for addressing this.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Just talk a little bit about Defend Yourself and what this workshop entails.
Our mission is to help people prevent and interrupt and heal from harassment and abuse and assault in every part of life. And one of the most common issues that students tell us is that harassment on the street and in other public places is scary, is upsetting, is enraging, et cetera, et cetera. The skills that you use to deal with harassment in public spaces are very similar to the skills you would use to deal with harassment in other parts of life as well, for example, like at work or at school. So really we're teaching skills and strategies and options for dealing with verbal assaults, almost no matter where they take place. And I really want to reaffirm one of the things that you said earlier, Susan, is that no absolutes exist. Really, it's about having options so that you don't feel like you have to walk away silently or you have to say something. Or some people get so angry that they just can't help themselves and they burst out in cursing, that all of these things are options, but that you have choices in the situation.
And that is huge, because there's such a feeling of powerlessness when
exactly.
all you can think of to do is to turn and walk away, that you don't know what else to do. It's a big difference if you choose to walk away. Like
exactly.
And that's
what I tell people, because a lot of people's first reaction is, well, can't I ignore it? And my response is, absolutely, you can ignore it. But if that's the only thing that you know how to do, it's not a choice, and then that's very disempowering.
Okay. And talk a little bit about how you, some of these techniques that you developed, how did they come about? Where did they come from?
There really is a whole women's self-defense, which may not be the best term for it, but a whole women's self-defense movement that started in the 70s and even has our roots earlier than that, based on boundary setting, confrontation, assertiveness. It's certainly been refined over the years, but the basic techniques are based in being able to be in touch with what do I want and how do I verbalize that in the world. I'm not promising that you're going to get what you want. The harasser won't necessarily leave you alone. They won't necessarily have a conversion to understanding that you feel this is very violative or disrespectful or scary or whatever. So you won't necessarily get what you want, but just the fact that you can say what you want and stand up for yourself can make a huge difference in your everyday life.
Now, Lauren, I want to frame what we're going to do a little bit. And you probably were going to say this, and then if you were, I apologize for jumping the gun on it, but I always say this when I do any kind, when I offer any kind of a technique segment on the show. And basically, Lauren is going to be talking about techniques and responses that she's used and taught successfully that she likes, but other instructors favor different techniques. So it's always good to train with more than one teacher to get a mix. But she's going to talk to us about what she's used and has been effective. And also, I think it's important to know that the best ones techniques to use in any particular scenario are determined by the circumstance of the harassment and the harasser. And this is why you want to take a workshop. We're going to give you some good information here, and it's effective. But
people will feel more confident when they've got a solid workshop and maybe even a self-defense course behind them. Right, Lauren?
Absolutely. And I think some of the important points that you're making, it depends on the circumstance. It also depends on you. How are you feeling that day? What are your options? How far is help? How dangerous does it seem? Are you, you know, too tired to deal with it or too scared not to deal with it? I mean, you've got to embrace sort of all the factors and your own intuition in the situation. And what a workshop can give you, even reading a book, although I think workshops are better because of the experiential piece, is there is no one right answer, but it's good to have 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 tools in your toolbox that you can decide in this moment, this is the one I want to try.
Okay, good. So let's go right to it.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some things. You're walking down the street, someone says, hey, baby, or start wherever you like.
The context that we set, I think, is important. It's important to have choices. If you decide that the safest thing to do or what you feel like doing on that day is ignoring it, that is a perfectly reasonable thing to do. There are times when ignoring it is not the safest thing to do, particularly if you feel that the person is testing or moving in, using the words to see how far they can get with you or possibly being more and more intrusive. So in that situation, boundary setting can actually be the safest thing to do.
Then how do I do that?
When the simplest piece, if, you know, a lot of times when we're in stressful situations, your brain freezes up, you can't remember everything you learned. If you only come back to one thing, which is tell them what you want. Tell them what you want, tell them what you want. That's the simplest thing to remember. So how you're going to tell people what you want is, what do I want in this situation? Leave me alone, go away, don't talk to me, don't come any closer, don't touch me. That's disrespectful, don't talk to me that way. Whatever, you know, that's Lauren talking, so you have to find your own voice. But in your voice, whatever is your way of telling them what you want them to do, is the simplest and most straightforward. So it's not a conversation. You don't have to be smart and creative. You just have to tell them that you want them to stop what they're doing, basically. It's important when you do that.
Behavior. You're focusing on the behavior.
You're focusing on the behavior, not on the person. So it's not stop being a jerk. It's It's
not get away from
what
you're
doing. So you don't want to judge the person. You're just having a problem with the behavior. And the reason for that, there's many reasons, but on the most basic sort of efficacy level, you're trying to address the behavior and not escalate the situation. You don't want to talk about how you feel about the person. And I basically feel that if you, they're being disrespectful to you, but I want to continue to be respectful of them because that's what I'm trying to have happen.
Exactly. If you focus on something other than what you want from them, you can set them off. You can make them the victim. She called me a pig. She called me a jerk. You know, that's what you want to kind of stay away from in these verbal things.
And also, if you get into name calling, you can get into who's controlling the conversation, and they will continue to try and control the conversation. If you decide what your agenda is, and your agenda is don't stand too close, take your hand off of me, don't talk to me that way, or whatever your agenda is in the situation, then you stick with your agenda, and you're not struggling for power over who's in control of the conversation. When you tell them what you want, it's important that your voice, your body, and your face all give a consistent message. So a lot of times some of us have very passive body language, or if you're nervous, you might have a big smile while you're telling them, stop that, that's disrespectful. So one thing you can do is you can look in the mirror, or you can pair up with a friend and work together and say, you know, oh, yeah, you look really strong while you're doing that, or, you know, let's see if you can work on having your body more straight up where you can have a more serious face or something like that. So I would encourage people as they practice to either look in a mirror or get with a friend or two and give each other some feedback on the fact that you're giving your message in a strong and consistent way involving your voice, your body, and your face.
Do you recommend eye contact when they're telling this person to leave me alone or stop talking to me?
I think eye contact is very complex because it has so many different meanings, and we live in such a multicultural society. Depending on the situation, the person, et cetera, it can mean really different things. So what I advocate is that you look at the height of the person, but you don't have to look right into their eyes. If you find yourself looking at the ground, which is something very common for a lot of women, and just in my own personal experience, something I had to work on for a long time, that can make your message look weaker. But I just have my students practice, make sure you're looking up at human being height. But you don't necessarily have to look into their eyes.
Lauren,
so, okay, and
can I ask a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
We have had a lot of people, submit experiences where they have said stop, this is disrespectful, and then they've been called, they've been cursed at by the harasser, and then the survivor feels more disempowered. So how does somebody handle when they are saying, they are putting up their boundaries, they are trying to, let the harasser know that this is not what she wants, and then they get cursed out. What suggestions do you have to react to that?
I'm glad you brought that up because that is super important. I think it's really key for all of us who stand up against any kind of harassment, whether it be sexual, which is mostly what we're talking about here, mm-hmm. or racial harassment, or mm-hmm. people who are targeted for being genderqueer or whatever, to define your own success.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually, what Che is saying, that a harasser will have a comeback line. They will try and save face. They will try and, reestablish their power in the situation. Personally, I feel that that's okay because mm-hmm. the important thing is that I, as the person who was the target, or that you, as the person who was the target, said what you needed to say. I'm not expecting them to, fall to their knees and apologize and suddenly see the light about, patriarchal society.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, don't talk to me that way, that's disrespectful, and they say, goddamn bee, whatever, I can still feel better that I said what I needed to say rather than mm-hmm. stuffing it and walking away with my feelings of shame or guilt or fear or anger.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something for every person to decide for him or herself.
Right.
When do you feel successful, define success? And I don't think the fact that someone comes back with curse words takes away the success that I stood up for myself.
Right, and that's
and
one
that
thing
I found
that,
my voice.
And that's one thing that at HollerBack DC, the comments part of it, when people feel, I did stand up for myself and then the harasser cursed me out or said that I'm ugly or I'm fat and I didn't even want you anyways. Commenters are saying, you did exactly what you needed to do and you felt
mm-hmm.
really empowered at that time, so don't let the harasser take that away from you.
Exactly.
So
exactly. And I want to circle back to the beginning, because if they say you're ugly and I didn't want you anyway,
yeah,
then that puts the lie. It reveals
mm-hmm.
that it was not what Susan kept saying in the beginning. It's not a compliment.
Right.
It's about
exactly.
reinforcing their power
exactly.
or their control over
exactly.
public space. And so if for 1 minute you could be the most gorgeous thing they've ever seen and the next minute you're the ugliest thing and they didn't want you anyway, the inconsistency is revealed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lauren, Shay, there's so much to this topic. I think that people are going to want more information about it. Lauren, how can they contact you if they want to get some more tips on what to do?
Absolutely. On the web at defendyourself.org, that's defendyourself.org, and there are definitely a lot of resources on that site, and I am also happy to connect people around the country and around the world with people who are doing this work in their own local areas.
Absolutely. And she's got a wonderful newsletter that you can also sign up for as well. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Shay.
Thank
you. My wonderful audience, stay right where you are. We're coming back, and you're going to hear about my jury duty experience on this really amazing murder case that I almost got picked for.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention101.com for more information.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
You gotta believe.
Listen up. Conceive Magazine is now on the air, live, and on demand on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Hosted by Kim Hahn, founder of Conceive Magazine. Conceive On Air offers comfort and emotional support to women contemplating starting or expanding their family by consulting noted professional experts and by sharing the insights and experiences of others. Kim wants to share her experiences to educate and empower women. Conceive On Air is the only complete resource destination that inspires and informs future moms about their fertility on the journey to parenthood. Conceive On Air with Kim Hahn, celebrating the creation of families.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
I want to remind you that Crime Prevention 101 is available on iTunes. You can take me with you. You don't have to be stuck inside at your computer to hear all this goodness. And don't forget, I've got a blog site, crimeprevention101.com. Lauren's going to send me some more techniques we didn't have time for. I'm going to post them there. I'll give you some more street harassment websites that you can get some information on there. Now, I got to tell you about this experience I had. I have never been on jury duty. Like every 5 years or so, I get called, and they never call me. And this time, they actually put me up to be questioned. It's called voir dire. I don't know why it's French. But that's where the district attorney, assistant district attorney, and the defense attorney ask questions of the prospective jurors and see who they feel they would like on the jury. And this was a big murder case that happened about 2 years ago in an area of Queens. And I had not heard about this case, but four people died in a fire. And they give you no information at all, but it turns out when I got home, I was not picked, which was absolutely appropriate. And they asked me all sorts of questions about being on the radio and what I did. And I would have been a terrible juror. But I have to tell you, I have such respect now for the jury process because they were asking me, could I be fair and impartial about this? And could I be fair and impartial about that? And it was going to be very hard. The case involved, which I found out when I got home, I saw the woman defendant, and she was all scarred up. She looked like an old hag, all scarred up. It turned out she was a beautiful woman. She was accused of throwing lighter fluid on her boyfriend, who was about 15 years younger than her. Both of them were gorgeous at the time, and setting him on fire, and ended up catching fire to the building that they lived in, and killing three innocent people or three people that lived in the building. I'm going to tell you more about this next week. It's really interesting, and boy, has this increased my respect for how hard it is to be on a jury. But you know what? That's a wrap for now. Please don't forget that we'd love to hear from you. Go to my host page on voiceamerica.com. Post your comments and your suggestions. Tell your friends about us. Crime Prevention 101 on voiceamerica.com. You and I will be doing this again next week when I'm going to have more stories that demand to be told, more hot, important crime topics in this hot, hot weather, and, of course, lots of tips and resources for you. It'd be a crime not to listen, so stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guest, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.